Let's honour Sean as he comes and shares. We are blessed to have him in our family, blessed to hear his words, and love your teaching. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Louis and Leanne. I am holding back a lot of cheekiness. Can you do something good? You can wheel that that whiteboard over. Louis and I have a unique friendship, but we are each other's strength. Actually, we hang out a lot together, and don't trust everything he says. How are we doing this morning?
Good.
That's good. Awesome worship. Thank you, team. Yeah. I was just thinking, just the whole process, you know, we quite often look forward to the preaching, or we sort of esteem or hold the preaching slot sometimes in more of a place of, oh, cool, now it's we really listen to this 40 minutes or whatever, but it's all such a family, a team effort, that really actually worship is just as important, or actually more important than the preaching slot in my eyes. It's more important because it's about our, at the end of the day, you know, it's how we carry ourselves and how we journey with Him that is really what gets us through our week. And we can all hear a good message, and we forget 90% of it, the scientists tell us. But, you know, the journey that even Karina does with leading the emceeing, that in itself, if you've ever done it, and I do it from time to time, is can be a preaching slot in itself, just doing the emceeing, because you're actually carrying a responsibility of the atmosphere and what God's doing. And so we all have a part to play, and you know, you guys aren't just pew warmers, that we all have a part to play in bringing an atmosphere of heaven into this place, and that we don't have to come here and invite Jesus, that He's already here because of Christ in you. And so don't worry about whether Jesus is here or not, that if you're here and you can acknowledge that in your heart, well, then He's here and He's present. And the more we come into agreement with that, and that's why, you know, we have a worship set that sometimes just seems to escalate, and we feel like God was really on that more than maybe the week before. It's not because the worship team were better this week than they were last week, but it was all about where two or three are gathered in my name and are in agreement, I am there, that there's something that manifests to a higher level when we're in agreement. So the more of us that agree and come on board and realize Christ in us, then that's what allows the manifestation of the presence of Jesus. It's not that He's waiting for, you know, half of us to get it before He finally walks in the room. He's already in the room when we walk in the room. And so just a little bit of a side note there, that we're all responsible for today's service. I spent so many years in youth ministry and senior ministry wanting people to experience the presence of Jesus, and feeling like, why are they not feeling what I'm feeling? And you're trying to make it happen, but it's just there waiting to happen. We just need to say yes. Yes, well, we've got a surprise for you today. You thought it was just me preaching, but I think things come better in twos. Intimacy in a marriage is better with someone else than on your own. And so I've asked my wife is going to be preaching with me this morning, and we're going to be tag teaming. And so yeah, that's an awesome surprise, isn't it? Because you know, this journey that we're walking and we've journeyed is one that we've journeyed together, and we've probably only learned in the last 5 years that it's actually about journeying it together, rather than trying to go it alone. And so I want to continue this morning. About, I think it was almost a month ago, I preached on stewardship, and we spent probably the first 30 minutes stewarding the presence of Jesus, and then I verbally spoke for about 15 minutes. But You know, that was the important foundation for stewardship is that ability to value and be able to steward the presence of Jesus in our lives. And, you know, if everything else fails or we can't comprehend the process of stewardship, that at the foundation of it all is the foundation of the presence of Jesus and being able to steward his presence. And then I hadn't talked to anyone here or within the leadership at all. It was just a journey that God's been taking Renita and I on. And then Matt goes and preaches a couple of weeks ago on stewardship, and it was just so awesome because he wasn't here when I spoke on that. And you know, it's just awesome that you know Holy Spirit's on something, and I just felt to continue a bit more in this on stewardship because it's something I believe that's close to the heart of God. And just going after the dream thing there again, you know, and that with stewardship, there's the stewarding of the dream, the talent, and what we carry. So it's what we're actually already carrying. And I want us to grab a hold of this quote this morning that the Lord spoke to me like about over a year ago. And it was that quite often the very thing you're called to is the very thing that the enemy will fight to keep you from. Quite often the very thing that you are called to is the very thing that the enemy will fight to keep you from. What do you know that you're called to, but it seems like there's a fight to keep you from it or it from you? And you know, God this year is just unlocking people's dreams and the revelation of what we carry, but also what we already are carrying. And you know, that's what God is wanting us to come alive into, is we can be thinking so far into the future and waiting for something to happen, but you know, and that can be locked up in the dream or the dreams partially happening. We're in the dream. But there can be, then there's the confusion, which has always been confusion in the body of Christ, which has been the talent. You know, what is my talent? What am I good at? What is God's will for my life? And it's always been the big confusion. But really what God's been stirring on my heart and Renita's heart for the last few years is, what is it that you already carry that you can recognize in your life that God is already on and he's already doing? And you know, it's part of the journey. And I want to just title this morning, The Journey of Stewardship. You know, the journey of stewardship, that it's not just something that just happens, but it's a journey. Can we turn to Luke 16, chapter 10, please? Luke 16, chapter 10. Just want to honor Karina for her word last week. That if, you know, if you thought that maybe no one else was hearing what you're saying, I was the one person. That everything you shared was just really bang on for what I'm journeying through at the moment. And thank you for your vulnerability and your honesty and giving us a good kick, a good bit of a nudge along there. So we are in Luke 16. If you're a Christian, you'll have a Bible. So Luke 16, whoever can be trusted, everyone say whoever. Yeah. Whoever can be trusted with very little, everyone say very little. Yeah. Can be trusted with much, everyone say much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Everyone say own. You know, there's something about the essence of stewardship is managing well what's been entrusted to you. And just in brief, from just a slight recap, you know, the word stewardship means the management of another person's property, finances, or household affairs. As a believer, stewardship incorporates accountability for the way in which he or she manages life's affairs as given as a personal oversight. So to care for the matters of one's house includes all the affairs of personal responsibility of private duties, attention to one's family and obligations, the pursuit of vocational tasks and the scope of influence, the service of God by serving human need, and the use of appropriate opportunities to extend the kingdom of heaven. These include stewardship of one's monies, times, abilities, and influence. I love what Martin Luther King Jr. says. He says, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. You know, we all have been given something, and we'll have something available to us in this journey of stewardship and the dream, the talent, and what is it that we are carrying. And it's something that is in red letters here, that if we want to be entrusted with more, then we need to be willing to be faithful with what we already have. And that's the journey that we've been on. And this morning I want to tell us all that our greatest days are upon us, and they're also ahead of us. Yeah. We can start to focus on who we are. Sorry, can we start to focus on who we are and stop focusing on who we're not? Because self-sabotage won't help you to keep moving forward. Can we start to see what we do have rather than what we don't have? Can we start to see what we do have rather than what we don't have? We didn't have carpet, but now we have carpet. We used to be able to spill coffee on concrete. Now we can't spill coffee on carpet, which I talked about that briefly. And you know, that journey of stewardship, there's so much that we can apply to different aspects of our lives. And a lot of last time's messages coming to mind, but just try and just think of those different things in your life that you've just known that God's allowed increase because you've been faithful with the small thing. But a lot of it comes down to that self-sabotage, that we focus on what we don't have, what we're not doing, what God's not doing, what's not happening. But coming to that place of thankfulness and seeing what we do have and what God is doing in our lives. So Jesus always sets us a good example. So let's just jump back just to Luke 2, a few pages. And it says there of Jesus as a young boy who had, we know he'd got lost. We hadn't been lost at the he wasn't lost at the temple, but his parents thought he was lost. And he says there of Jesus, verse 51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. So he grew, did he come all equipped? Because he grew in wisdom, he grew in stature. Was he? Did he come pre-accepted and pre-approved in his town? No, but he grew in stature and he grew in favor with God and with men. So Jesus from an early age learnt stewardship. he grew. He took what who he was and who he was called to be, the 3.5 year responsibility that he was given to him. He took that as something that he stewarded well. And it says that he grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and he grew in favor with God and man. And if we were to journey over to John 5, John 5, 16 So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." So who is working? Why is he working? Because he's seeing his Father at work. So Jesus, this is now many years on into his ministry, so "My Father is always at his work, and this to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making him equal with God." Verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. See, yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than this. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So Jesus knew stewardship. He took responsibility for what was his responsibility, and increase was added to that. He was handed increase in the manifestation of healing and deliverance and that ministry. And then it was also not the Father's place to judge, but then it was given to Jesus to be put in that seat, the place of judgment. So when we're faithful with the little, we're entrusted with more. So if we go to nearing the end of the life of Jesus in John 17, starting in verse 1, "After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, 'Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority,'" everyone say authority, "authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that you may know the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing," everyone say completing "the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Upgrade. So Jesus acknowledged in a prayer that he also prayed for his disciples and continued to pray for all believers, but first acknowledged and thanked his Father and acknowledged that he had done all the work that was given him to do. So Jesus knew stewardship. So that's the foundation for our lives that we can fall back on, is that Jesus knew stewardship. He was responsible. And he, like all of us, faced the opportunity to step away from that responsibility. As we saw in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, if there's any other way, if there's another opportunity, if there's somebody else, if there's a sheep or a goat, but not my will be done, but yours. So, I don't have time to, I don't want to go into all of these, but we can think of the responsibilities that we have in regards to stewardship as number one is a kingdom, number two is the king's wealth, number three, the responsibility to add increase to what you were given, and number four is time. And we talked about, and Matt talked about Luke 19, 11 to 27, and I talked from Matthew 25, 14 to 30 about the parable of the miners and the parable of the talents. And in those parables, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. So he was painting an amazing picture, a comparable picture to us of what it looks like to journey kingdom. And he painted for us the picture that first of all, there was a king. So if you don't, you can't have a king unless there's a kingdom. So those stewards were given a responsibility over the king's kingdom, and they were given the king's wealth. So they were given the responsibility of everything that the king had. And he was telling this to his disciples. He was telling this to you and I. So not only was he given the king, they were given the king's wealth, but they were given responsibility to add increase to what was given to them. And both of those parables, they paint sort of two different pictures, but they are exactly the same. And fourthly, which I want to probably just sort of paint a picture of now before I invite Renita up, is the responsibility that I'll be back. You know, the king said, the master said, I'll be back. And so he had given them responsibility. And as you know, if you work for somebody, and I have employees myself, and you know it's a huge responsibility when the boss says, well, here's your job to do, I'm going to go away and do another job, or most employees think their bosses are playing golf or out fishing. But nonetheless, you know that he's coming back at some stage to see what you've done. But you have two opportunities there. You can either goof around and risk losing your job and try and get away with it, or you can actually step up to the mark and see the opportunity that's been given to you and realize that you've been given an opportunity to show that you're trustworthy. And that's the opportunity that all of us have been given as an opportunity with the king and his kingdom. And we've been given the king's wealth to be responsible over, but we've also need to add increase, which means that we don't have an opportunity. We're not allowed to goof around. So I just want to paint a picture of time. And sorry for those who are not really going to be able to see my awesome picture, but you're not missing too much. But I just like to paint pictures. And outside of time is God. And he's all-encompassing, everywhere, every time, anyhow, anywhere. But within time, for you and I, is the opportunity within time for there to be an abundance. An abundance. Or a lack. Now, do you think the person who has an abundance of time has somehow defied the laws of physics and somehow conjured up extra more than 24 hours in a day? Do you think that for some reason the person who always seems to experience a lack of time and is complaining about never having enough time to do anything somehow is missed out on their 24 hours and only gets maybe 19 hours in a day? And no. So the way that we view time, the more that we are allowing, knowing that God lives outside of time, but the more that God, we allow God to be part of what we do, whether it's heaven in business, heaven in family, heaven in church, heaven in life, is that it all comes down to a mentality, what the way that we see life, the way that we journey life, the way that we see time. Now, lack of time, so always seeing that we have a lack of time, comes from a poverty mentality. So always feeling like there's never enough. And I don't know how many times that's a constant battle, you know, within our lives. And this is something that Renita and I have journeyed a lot of over our lives, and we're still journeying it. And we realize that when we come across certain hurdles in our lives and our response to that, we think, far out, why do we keep responding a certain way? And we realize that there's an aspect of our lives where we were carrying a poverty mentality. So this could be, it could be finances, it could be never having enough, it could be feeling like there's always a lack of time. But abundance comes from a wealth mindset. And the word wealth does not always refer to monetary. But a wealth mindset in God always sees within time opportunity. Yeah. There is always opportunity in time. So we can either wallow in self-defeat and pity, which we all go to that place. Let's not deny that. But we don't want to stay in this place with a poverty mentality. We want to partner with Him, and we want to live in abundance. John 10:10. He said, "I came that you may have life." He's not. We can't sit back and lack and wait for Him to give an abundant life. We need to see ourselves in a place of opportunity, which comes to what is it that you already are carrying? What are you and I already carrying? What can we steward that we already have, so that it's like that little bit that I have, it's that $1. You know, how can I steward that $1 and see God be faithful with that and see increase? So I'm going to invite Renita up in like 1 minute. So I want to leave her to pick up the pieces of this. Are we pursuing the kingdom, or are we chasing Pokemons? It's all right if you do it. But are we pursuing the kingdom, or are we chasing Pokemons? Only you are responsible for you. Coming up. Let's give my awesome wife a hand.
Nice. Thank you. I just want to thank my awesome... Oh, take a mic. I want to thank my awesome husband just for inviting me up. It's just totally his idea. He's like, oh, I'm on preaching. Hey, how about we tag team? And I just feel so honoured to be his wife. He's very empowering of me. And the last few years, when we finished up pastoring and we began to dream with God again, it's just been so fun and so beautiful to support one another's dreams. And we totally do that. Like, we've grown the building company, and I've had to really step up and help with that and learn lots of new things that I've never done before with employing people and things like that. But also, you know, I asked God, what's my direction? And He said, well, what do you want to do? And so I stepped into studying to be a naturopath, and we've done lots of health things and changed our family, and Sean's 100% supported me in that too. So it's just beautiful that we honour one another's dreams and work together, and it's really fun. Yeah. So for me, although stewardship is mostly about how we manage our stuff, I've learned that the journey begins in our hearts with who we really believe that we are, and who, and if we believe whose we are too. So yeah, when our business started to grow and money started to come in, it was like I never saw it as our money. It was always the business's money, and I just didn't want to touch it. Do you know what I mean? Because in my heart and growing up with poverty, I had this poverty mindset in terms of money. Sean's put it here for time, but you know how often we have it for money too. And Jesus gave me some good teachings, and I found myself repenting and saying, I am so sorry, Jesus, for not believing that you would want to abundantly supply me. And that's part of the journey. If you want to steward something well, it's going to hit here first, and you're going to go, oh, no, that mustn't be for me. And you're going to let that opportunity pass you by if you don't believe that you are worthy, and he's made you worthy, and he's called you to walk in abundance. So that's been my journey, and repentance is just the key, people. If you feel like, oh, I missed that opportunity, just repent and just say, Jesus, I'm sorry I didn't believe that I was worthy. I'm sorry that I didn't receive what you were giving me, because it is really our hearts expanding to carry what he has for us, because he has so much for us. Why don't you just declare, he has so much for me. Yeah, more than we can even imagine. So he's preparing the vessels. Yeah, so when we know who we are and whose we are, we steward all things well. And some of the things, like Sean's mentioned already, but our work, our jobs, money, our home, our car, our children, which the Lord's been teaching me heaps about how to teach stewardship to children, our friendships as well, how we steward our current friendships. I study, so we steward our study, our health and our body as well. These are all areas that Jesus is looking at in our world going, who's being faithful? Who's being faithful with the little? I gave that person $2 to steward last week. Who's being faithful, you know? Yeah, so if we believe in our hearts that we're unworthy, we are ultimately going to self-sabotage our own success. And so Sean mentioned that. But that's the truth of what I've seen in my world. And I get a glimpse in other people's worlds too. He's allowed me to see that. And I'm like, wow, when we don't believe we're worthy, it doesn't come. It doesn't land. Yeah. So let's not be a people that self-sabotage, because our God's saying, you're great, you're worthy, receive. And we're going, oh, no, can't be for me, must be for someone else. Yeah. So let's shift that. Hey, family, let's shift that. Yeah, and God is such a good father. I was reflecting on that this week, that he gives each according to their ability. That's what the word says, and Sean shared on last time. So I am not going to give my 8-year-old a car. And I'm not going to give my 8-year-old an entire house. But I am going to give my 8-year-old a bike. Well, she's had a bike for many years, and she's stewarding that well. And it's like that with the Father. He's not going to give us something too powerful that's going to set us up to fail, because he's a good father, like many good fathers in this room. You're not going to set your children up to fail, to have a crash, to have something more powerful than they know how to deal with. So I give my children, hey, there's your bedroom. You want a house? Have a look at your bedroom and see what you can do to work that bedroom. Amen? And, you know, sometimes I walk in my bedroom, I'm like, oh, okay, got to set the example too. But, yeah, so he gives us what's manageable first. And some of us sometimes resent that about God. We want the big house, and we don't want to just, oh, our room, really? Just this? And, yeah, we need to embrace that. And with children, you know, when they're young, we start with the toys. We start with, okay, it's tidy up time. And our Father's like that. He's like that. I've given you this. Okay, you had some fun. Now tidy that up. And let's move on to something bigger and better. Yeah, so being faithful in the little things. When we see that every area of our lives is an opportunity to be faithful and be a faithful steward with potential for growth, then we will succeed. And another area of stewardship for me has been stewarding with joy. Because so often we just do it like the mundane, like the cleaning the bedroom, but we can actually clean our bedroom with joy. I could just see Louis just like getting his washing and shooting the hoops into the washing pile there. You know, we can actually, I mean, we've got technology these days, so I clean my room while listening to a podcast, which is awesome. We can do it singing praises to God. Like, finding joy in stewardship is epic too, because in heaven, joy is some serious business, eh? Yeah, if Jesus sees you not enjoying what you're stewarding, I think he's like, if you don't enjoy that, I don't think you enjoy cleaning the house. And another thing with stewardship is it's not everything is ours to steward. Some opportunities come our way that just aren't ours, and sometimes we get confused. We think, I have to be faithful with everything that comes my way. But I just realized this week, I got asked to make some meals, and I sat on it for a few days, and I just realized, you know what, unless Holy Spirit prompts me that it's my time, I realized it's not my strength, and I realized I was going to strive to do something like that. And so it's really important we learn our own strengths, and it's okay to say no. If an opportunity comes and you're like, you know, this is going to take 150% from me and time, and then it's going to drain me, rather than just step into who you are as a strength and learn what love looks like for you in serving others rather than serving in the one way that someone else maybe thinks you can serve them. So yeah, just be free in that too, because some people, we just all gifted differently, eh? And when we are in our own strength, it's just with grace and ease and fun. Yeah. Yeah, so Jesus is looking for those willing to train to reign with him. Does anyone want to train to reign with Jesus? Does anyone want to embrace stewarding things well in their lives? Because he's looking for that, and everything we do is evidence of our heart to want to steward things well for him. Yeah. So tag team back to my awesome husband.
WWF. Yeah, Bushwhackers. I used to. I was brought up on it. Secretly, maybe. So, you know, I want to invite us back to the reminder of the journey. You know, the journey of stewardship, the lifelong journey of the believer. You know, all of this is just it's a practice. What did Andy Mason say it is? It's all in business. It's experiment. This is all an experiment. Stewarding, learning to steward well, learning to lead a fellowship. All that we're doing with him is he wants us to enter into just this lifelong journey of journeying with him, you know. And I'll invite us back into that concept of just that journey of stewardship that he's taking us on. That, you know, and very quickly, Renita just mentioned, but I'd mentioned quite a bit, and I put quite a strong emphasis on that. It said that in Matthew 25 that the talents were given each according to their ability. You know, that he knows what you're capable of. Now, the thing is, he knows what you are capable of, so not based on what you think you're capable of, but of knowing what you are capable of, but then knowing enough that he's not going to put on you what will crush you. And so just, you know, so that way it takes away the comparison. That, you know, that those that wish they could stand up and talk what I'm doing right now, it might not be your platform yet. You know, but it's stewarding well what's been given already according to your ability, being faithful with that, and it's, you know, just all those things. So just a quick recap on that, according to your ability. It's such an awesome comfort to know that, because, you know, I'm going through a few challenges at the moment in regards to, you know, the Leif was talking about the mountaintop, you know, and A few weeks ago, Louis and I spent time with Andy Mason. We went down to Taupo, spent time with him down there, and I was at a mountaintop of awesome things happening. And within a few days of coming back, it felt like all I've done is nothing but a descent into valley time. You know, and it's at that time that all of this, the stewardship, the journey of it is just being, you know, forged in us. You know, and forging can only take place in the fire. So, yeah, let's hope otherwise we're stuffed. So forging is in the fire. So we're on the up and up, amen? So let's just begin to land this. So number one was the struggles we face is the responsibility. To be a good steward means we need to be responsible. We need to do what we do and how we think. Wrong thinking will rob us of increase. You know, in time management, Ephesians 5:15-16 just says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most, everyone say most, of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Dun dun. So we can either journey with a life of entitlement or a spirit of stewardship. We can either journey life with a spirit of entitlement or a spirit of stewardship. It is in learning to take ownership for our own lives and understanding that the world doesn't owe you anything except a platform to do something great with your life. The government will always let us down. People around us, the boss, whatever. When we begin to take responsibility and realize that the world doesn't owe us anything except a platform to be great, to live our dreams, to express our talent, and to walk in what we're already carrying. That's a spirit of stewardship. So number three, it's the Father who gives the increase. We cannot force growth. So as much as there was responsibility placed upon the servants, in the talents, it was when the father, the manager, the boss, when he returned, he added the increase. You know, they were faithful as long as they needed to be faithful, and when he came back, he saw when the increase needed to take place, and that takes the pressure off us needing to force the growth. As soon as we try and force the business to grow, as soon as we try and force reconciliation within the family, as soon as we try and force there to be more time, or as soon as we force things to happen, we end up fragmented, fractures, stressed, delusional, without hope. So it is He, the Father, who adds increase. I just love that. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3 talks about Apollos sowed and Paul watered, or it might be back and round. Gardening terms, but you know, some water, some reap, some sow, they all had a part to play. You know, but it said the Lord bought the increase. So they had a part to play in the stewarding of the early church, but it was the Lord who brought the increase. It's a good reminder for how we do church, that we be faithful of what we have, but it's the Lord who brings the increase. So the biggest giant of stewardship, who wants to know the biggest giant of stewardship? No one does. Who wants to face a giant this week? I need everyone on board, remember? Who's ready to face a giant this week? Or right now even? I'll just write it somewhere in a space so you can see it. The biggest giant to stewardship is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. The fear of failure will stop us from starting. The fear of failure will stop us from continuing. The fear of failure will blur our vision for seeing the end of what we're going through or the purpose. And so the third servant, his issue with bringing no increase to what was given to him was the fear of failure. He had a wrong perspective, a wrong picture of who his boss was. He says, I thought and I knew that you were a hard man. I knew that you reaped where you weren't sowing and da-da-da-da. And he painted this picture called excuse. But it was out of a root of a fear of failure. He didn't want to try and multiply what had been given to him, so he went and buried it. And the boss came back and he said, all you needed to do at least, I know you were scared, all you needed to do at a minimum was put it in the bank. A short trip down to the bank, and then once it was in the bank, you could sit back and not worry about doing anything because the bank would add at least some interest for me. So the fear of failure is the biggest giant to stewardship that I have experienced, and I know that that needs conquering. So it's been exposed this morning, and there's an opportunity for us to step into freedom. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So, Louis, thank you very much. You've been attentive and well behaved today. Can you just... We don't have to hide the reality that we're scared. You know, I just got this picture during worship that there's some of us, and I think of it myself sometimes being this way, but I just got this picture of just some of us, we're too busy trying to look like we're happy and we've got it all together, and we just need to talk and tell someone what's really going on. And there were some of us, though, that we've worn our heart on our sleeve and everyone knows every bad thing that's going on, and it's time to step into joy. You know, but then for some of us, you know, that we've held back what's really going on, and it's time to shed a tear. And I just got this picture that it's just time just to be real. And you know, those giants, they're real. They're real. But they need to come down at the same time. And they will come down. And it is perfect love that casts out all fear. And we can step into perfect love this morning. That's what stewarding... Going from stewarding a moment. So we're in a moment right now. So we want to steward this moment, but we don't want to stay in a moment. We want to realize that we're called to steward a movement. A movement of just being faithful with what God has said. To actually grow and increase, to grow in favor, to grow in stature, to grow in wisdom before God and man. You know, he's calling all of us into greatness. He's calling all of us to not just remain where we are, but actually to fulfill our dreams, to recognize the talents, just to do what you're already good at and you know is there. And like what Renita said, it starts in the heart, learning to value ourselves, learning to love ourselves, learning to be able to say to myself in the mirror that I am awesome, that I am good, I'm talented. I've got what it takes to run a business. I've got what it takes to parent my kids well, to love my wife, to be a part of this fellowship and to journey in the ups and downs of what it's like to be a part of family. So if Paul was Paul here, if he could come and jump on the keys. And I think this morning, I just really want to, I want us to respond in accordance to really those four things. The dream, which Corinne has already led us in a little bit this morning. You know, the talent, stewarding the dream, stewarding the talent, stewarding what we already have, but also that fear of failure, that fear of not wanting, the fear of just wanting you just want to stay in the safety of where you are right now. You know, you're good, you're safe, you're doing well enough, you're happy enough. You'd like to do more, but I don't know, I've seen too many people drop by the wayside stepping into that. But let's choose this morning to pick up a stone and trust that it's Him who adds the increase. It's Him who's fighting our battles. I mean, almost every morning, probably for the last month, almost every morning I've been needing to, in a time of just focusing for the day, I've been playing the Lion and the Lamb song. And just knowing that the battle's not mine. It's His. And, you know, that's what we're called to. You know, these giants, they're real. But we're called to also slay giants. And to be found faithful with what we already have. So let's stand our feet this morning. And I think it's an opportunity for ministry today that sometimes we just need someone to stand with us. You know, our fear is only as strong as the darkness that it resides in. So as soon as we allow light into our thinking, into our heart, and sometimes light comes by just telling someone. And so I just want to invite the ministry team this morning to come. And if you just want someone to stand with you this morning, I encourage you to do that. If you want to just have some personal time with God, then come and just maybe just stand to the side or kneel or whatever. But let's agree to grow together in journeying this journey of stewardship. Are we on board together? That's awesome. Let's just pray. So Father, we want to thank you for the light. We thank you that as we walk in the light, as you are in the light, we have fellowship one to another. And we thank you that fear, sin has no power, Father, when we allow light into our lives, Father. And Father, fear only is as strong as the darkness that it's wallowing and dwelling in. And we choose this morning to not be given into the fear of failure, the fear of lack, the fear of limitation. But Father, we choose to step forward into stewardship. And Father, we thank you that you've not called us to fail. You're not setting us up to fail. But Father, that you've given each one of us, Father, according to our ability. But Father, I just thank you for any of us, Father, who have remained at that ability for a long time and you're calling us out to grow. I just pray that you would give us the courage today to say, yes, I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to step into this next season. I'm ready to lay this thing down and to pick this other thing up. And Father, I just thank you for every person represented here this morning. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the chief counselor. And I just invite you to minister to people's hearts this morning. We just thank you for your goodness. We just thank you for your love. And we just thank you that perfect love is here this morning to cast out all fear. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.